Welcome to the CFC Jacks Midweek Podcast, where we discuss topics related to becoming a fully devoted, Spirit-empowered Christ follower. We hope that wherever you are today, you'll be encouraged by the truths discussed in this podcast.
I want to encourage you to text them, and you'll see there's a number across the bottom of the screen. You can send those in, and we often say if there's something stirring in your heart and your mind, likely it is in someone else's as well. So I want to invite you to send that in this morning.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I know it's a bit of a run from one auditorium over to this space, so it takes a little time.
Yeah, there was no running involved.
The transition from one to the other. We do have some questions that have come in, but I'm so glad that we took the time to walk through Coffin Crib Table Stove this morning, specifically in the application as we're kicking off a new series. It's just such a good practical reminder.
Yeah, I think sometimes we hear things and we go, I've heard this before. But that doesn't, just because we've heard something before doesn't mean it really hasn't worked its way into the fabric of our life. And,
right.
you know, disciples of Jesus, that is our life now if we placed our faith in him. And so I don't actually, maybe others grow tired of hearing it, but I don't grow tired of reviewing what this journey is, because it helps me see where I am and what the Lord has given me the opportunity to do. And it was important that we see this third phase, but I hope we see the third phase is not, okay, now that I'm mature, now I multiply, that we killed that this morning, that I do not have to be mature in order to begin the process of helping others do the same. Just sometimes a half step ahead, or sometimes not even a half step ahead. In fact, I realized, we'll get to a question here in a second, I just realized that it's awkward to go, how did Bill Jones lead? Well, he led his mom to the Lord, because none of us lead someone to the Lord. That's the work of God in their heart. He
Absolutely.
Was simply the messenger. And it should be a good encouragement if you think, I don't really. He heard the gospel one time, repeated what he heard, and she believed. That's the work of God. So he wasn't even alive yet when he was used of the Lord to life. But I think about, and I'm sure this has been true for you, Tracy, you're more mature than your kids in your faith.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they do things or say things that move you toward greater maturity. That was true for my kids. So I'm reminded that even sometimes kids who are still crawlers can be used by the Lord to bring about maturity in those who are more mature. So we got. I don't want us to think about helping others do the same as this always thing that I have to have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're following Jesus, and the same time as we're following, helping others do the same wherever we are on our journey.
Yes, great reminder.
I hope so.
Great reminder. Does bring up a lot of thoughts of like how many times I've learned based on my kids.
Yeah.
And how the Lord has shown me my behavior or areas I can grow. Through my children.
We've limited how we help people to grow way too narrow to be in a 6-week, 8-week, 10-week studies. And again, I'm not down on those. I think they're important. The Word of God is milk. The Word of God is solid food that helps us to grow. But it's so much more than that.
So much more. Well, first question here. What is the best way to minister, share, or tap into your loved ones who are trapped in sin?
First of all, I'm grateful for a heart that wants to help them. I think the starting place is compassion. Until I am broken by what is trapped with them, either I'll be mad at them, frustrated with them, look down on them, they will feel judged, they will feel condemned. What do you want? I was going to say what you want them to feel, but that's not fake. What needs to come first is a heart of compassion, because now they're not your project. they care about you. They feel for how sin is ruining your life. So ask the Lord for a heart of compassion. And then out of that overflow of compassion will be, how can I serve them? How can I help them? Not pulling, not just pulling them to me, but really engaging them. So I think that's the heart of how do we help people trapped in sin? We feel the compassion for those who are trapped, because sin, as we talked about last week, it punishes. Sin destroys. And yes. So I'm not mad at that person. I hurt for that person. And I think every action feels differently, is experienced differently when it flows from a heart of compassion and mm-hmm. and love and desire to serve them, not a project. Mm-hmm. So that's my initial start.
Yeah, you think about, like you said, not wanting to make someone a project. It's not for us to fix.
Yeah, right.
But the Lord can use that compassion, mm-hmm. that love, the willingness mm-hmm. to come alongside, to help in the hard. It's a different thinking of it differently and making sure our heart's in that place of compassion.
As you said that, just think what Jesus did for us, because we were trapped in sin.
Yes.
And so what did he do? God so loved the world that he sent. So there's compassion, there's sacrifice, there's identification, there's incarnation. There is not a calling them out of the slot, but a willingness to kind of meet them in it, to take on, Jesus took on human flesh. I'm not saying join them in their sin,
right?
But to be able to join them in their sorrow and in their hardship. That's what Jesus did. So I think his incarnational work is the secret to how we should do it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great example he set for us.
Yeah, right.
So question here about capacity and serving. Mm. So when does someone know if they are refusing to help others or are at capacity on their ability to help others? They give an example such as every night or church service, but you only have one night without anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a genuine question, because this is not to put off the question. We'll try to answer that question exactly in that next week. How do I be a multiplier? To be a multiplier, to help others do the same, do I have to quit my job?
Yeah.
And no, you don't have to quit your job. So the capacity question is first of all, break down the compartment between my service for the Lord and the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And I go, no, every aspect of my life, I want to be a life as unto the Lord. So I am not, otherwise, maybe the best way to say it, here's what Jackie would have felt. Jackie would feel like me being engaged in the family, if it was family and serving the Lord and they were competing with one another, she would say to me, Doug, I don't want to compete with your service of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to shrink back from that. And I could tell her, I'm not shrinking back from that service of the Lord to serve the family and be involved in the family. That is serving the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think I've shared many times, Robertson McQuilkin really helped me by simply saying, We like to think of these priorities in life as there's this first, and then this is second, and then this is third, and then this is fourth, and we like to make our list. But he said, life just doesn't work this way. A capacity question is better answered when I say, I put God not first, but center. I put him, so I put him first by putting him center. And when he's at the center of my life, then at the center of my life, I'm always asking myself, Lord, what is it with you at the center of my life? Where is it that you need me to minister? At work, at home, at church, to my neighbor, to my son, to my mom, to my dad. And it's not that I am living my life and then putting on my serve the Lord, my helping others do the same hat, and then taking it off. It's like wherever I am, I'm helping those do the same. So at work, I'm helping them do the same. I'm following Jesus and helping them do the same. Mm-hmm. I don't need to leave work to go do that.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm getting, that's a little preview of next week, but I do not need to leave work to go do that. I need to. Maturing in Christ is learning to, I do that while I'm at work, while doing my work, not instead of my work, because then if you're doing that instead of your work, they should fire you. You do that as you're doing your work, because they're not paying you to do that. But as you're doing it, you are following Jesus and helping others do the same.
And that really is a shift. You know, we talked about a few weeks ago with the different hats.
Yes.
But that shift in thinking and understanding what the Lord has for us. So like you said, with Christ at the center,
yes,
rather than a list of priorities, yes, that really is a powerful shift.
First as center. So I'm not saying, mm-hmm, he's not first. I'm saying he's, yeah, first by being central, and then everything, mm-hmm, flows out of that.
Right.
Center is a lot different than everything flowing down, because if it flows down, then it has to go through number two to get to number three, and it has to go through number three to get to number four. And sometimes life just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't.
Most times life doesn't work that,
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I think that's a very true response. As we walk through this process, how does one know when they are stuck at the table?
I think you know you're stuck at the table when, this is why I put that, you look at that on the message memo and you go, who and what? And you go, I don't really see anywhere in my life where my following Jesus is including helping others do the same.
Hmm.
Oh, that's when I'm stuck at the table. I am just like living my life, and I've included church in my life because church helps me. I've included Bible study because Bible study helps me, and I've included prayer because prayer helps me. But none of that is, I can do lots of quote unquote spiritual things, but if they become things that never move me beyond myself to engage others, then I'm stuck at the table, because Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fish. You're going to engage other people, because if, mm-hmm, you're following me, that's what I do. I engage other people. See, Jesus did not. I think it's just so easy to look at the life of Jesus and go, Jesus did not come and just live a mature life. He didn't just come and live a life that demonstrated the heart of the Father and revealed the holiness of the Father. He came and lived a life that demonstrated the character of the Father, and he helped others do the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's super simple to me. So I know I'm a little stuck on it right now, but I've just become super convinced that some new language might free us up to take the discipleship cookies off the top shelf for the special people and the super mature people and put it into, it's the part of being a disciple, not at the end of my discipleship, but as a part from as soon as I start following Jesus. In fact, I don't know if I want to give this away. I don't want to give this away. there's a fantastic study. I've been looking at the life of the disciples and what Jesus did with the disciples before he even said to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, to show them that as soon as they were following, he was having them help others, have them help others do the same. As soon. So.
Not a training period.
Kind of just gave it away. Sorry, I'm a little distracted. Walgreens is trying to call me.
I always call it great times. Question here about sharing the gospel. When others don't respond initially to the gospel we share with them, how can we keep from seeing that as failure?
I always go to two places in the scriptures. First, 1 Corinthians 3, because Paul says there, Paul says, some water, some plant, but God gives the increase. So there's this idea that I get to plant the gospel. I get to sow the seed of the gospel. I get to live a life that pours water on that seed. but only God can make it grow. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3 speaks to that. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this, the opening six verses talk about we have this ministry as we have received mercy. We don't lose heart. We have this ministry of the gospel. And he finishes verse, well, he didn't finish, but in verse 6 he says, "For God who said, let light, light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." So what I love about that verse is it reminds me, this was 2 Corinthians 4, 6, it reminds me that as sure as light out of darkness, God speaking light in creation, and there was, God said, let there be light, and there was light, as sure as that was the supernatural work of God, is the same way that that has to happen in the human heart, that there is, because of sin, the human heart in darkness, and we can declare the gospel, and we can tell the truths of who Jesus is and what he's done, but it's God who has to say, let there be light. Mm-hmm. And when he says, let there be light, there'll be light. So he needs to do the one shining in the heart. So don't be discouraged. Do know this. They cannot respond to a gospel they have not heard. So there is no increase where there is no seeds planted or water given. So keep planting seeds. Don't grow discouraged. It is the Lord's work to give the increase. It is our privilege to plant the seeds.
Mm-hmm. And during that time, during that waiting, or if maybe that does or does not happen, that doesn't mean the Lord's not growing you. And your ability to share the gospel, or your ability to persevere,
right,
or to trust in him, or to not give up in prayer, and just all of these things in that waiting that can happen as a personal growth opportunity that then helps you to reach others. And so it's not a waste. Even that time of waiting is not a waste.
It's not. It's done unto the Lord, and endurance is part of your maturing process. If God did everything the exact moment we ask him, we'd still be very immature.
For sure. For sure.
Because waiting is an important part of maturing.
Yes. So hard sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not enjoying waiting.
Not sometimes. It's always hard. I don't wait well.
I never enjoy waiting.
I know. I don't
either. It is part of the maturing. Yeah.
It is part of the maturing process. So anything that you would want to end with
this morning? I was hoping you'd ask me that.
Tee you up here.
Yeah. I hope people have not only heard and understood, but embraced. Helping others do the same can go from a wand in a parking lot to helping someone in the counseling room. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that if you have walked with the Lord and you have lots of the Word of God been poured into you, that you should stay necessarily at just helping park. In other words, parking is an important part of helping others do the same. But it's not the same as saying, I'm going to be a person that has had the Word of God poured into me and poured into others. So I want to encourage this. As you continue to mature, continue to seek more and more direct opportunities of investing your life in others. Mm-hmm. When we first come to Christ, we can kind of stay and we can help and participate, and it's important. It's needed, but the more we grow, the more we have to offer. So, and then as you give room for some of those outside fringe opportunities, then new people can come in. So I am saying all of them are helping others do the same, but not all are equal. And so I want to encourage, as you are maturing, as you have had more poured into you, pursue more direct relational opportunities to pour into others. Is that clear?
Yes, and I think that would also be in addition to. Not necessarily. So I may still be taking care of babies, but yet I am sharing the gospel with a coworker. It doesn't mean, oh, now I'm going to stop taking care of babies to do this. But it's, like you said, you're living life as a Christ follower, not in specific moments.
Yep. Yeah, so and if you hit a capacity question, then go, I'm going to be in direct relationship as much as possible in terms of helping others do the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for all your questions. Really appreciate them. Hope you have a great afternoon. And again, want to encourage you to check out our website for all of the things happening during Holy Week. Get engaged and join us as we prepare our hearts for Easter. Thanks. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CFC Jacks podcast. Be sure to watch as we release new teachings weekly, along with additional content during the week. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit us at www.cfcjacks.com. Thanks for listening.